12.
Be reading the first and second verses. When we look at Romans chapter 12, it offers us an outline for breaking the world's mold. First 12 chapters are directly mainly to the Israelites, but thereon, from 12 on or 13 on, is directed to all the world. So, and to put these, what I call directions in motion, means going against the flow of society. Yet, God does not hesitate to confront us with the choice. The option is not whether we will conform, rather the choice is to whom will we conform. And that's what Paul is saying, I beseech you, I urge you, I plead with you, as the choir sing, the mercies of the Lord. So, will our lives follow the pattern of this world or God's pattern? And these two verses here, Romans 12, 1 and 2, the apostle reveals how to pursue holiness and to resist compromise. So follow along with me as I read the first two verses. Chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies in a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, Paul is saying that God calls us to live godly or holy lives. So I want us to look at this morning. See, God calls to surrender our lives to Him as living, holy sacrifice, reasonable because He redeemed us from spiritual darkness and adopted us as children. So He redeemed us from darkness. We were once in darkness. And when we say darkness, and the Bible refers to darkness, that means that at one point in time in our life, we were living in sin. And when we came to the point in our life, realized that we were in sin and walking in the darkness, kind of a lot goes off in our mind, our heart, as we read the scripture, because the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, the Holy Spirit helps us to see the light even when we're in the darkness. When we're in the pits of darkness, the Holy Spirit helps us to see the light of God's salvation. And that's why it says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Because Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who walks in the light, there is no darkness, but he that is in the darkness condemns, is condemned already. But in verse 17, the Bible says that Jesus said, I came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might have life through me. See, there's a comparison of darkness and light. And Paul is urging the people to hear in the scriptures. You see, as we y'all sing that song, it reminded me of the mercies of God. And as the first verse says, the mercies of God or the mercies of the Lord, you see, we are not to live with pride. But to think of the mercies of God that He forgives us of sin. See, that is the mercies of God, that He is willing to forgive us of our sin. Now, as we look at this, see, as God's people, we no longer have, what I say, the right. You think about it. As God's people, as Christians, we have no right to run our own lives, but He still allows us to choose whether or not to surrender. See, your entire being, including your mind, your will, and emotions should be yielded to God. See, there's a verse in there that said, you know, surrender your heart, your soul, your mind to the Lord. See, God wants all of our lives. Not that He's trying to control us, but if we're willing to choose His ways, see, we can walk in the mercies of God in our life. We can experience it. So your entire being, including your mind, will, and emotion, should be yielded to God, see, which means giving both the inner, outer self into God's control. For example, I was thinking about this. Divers in gymnastics, what do they normally do? They know that where their heads go, their body eventually is going to follow, right? When they dive into the water, or when they're doing gymnastics and all these turns and flips and so forth, and the head usually goes first, doesn't it? So eventually we know that our body's going to follow. So that is with our lives. Wherever our minds, our hearts are, our whole body, mind and emotions and will, is going to follow in suit. And see, God prefers that we choose Him, that we yield to Him, that we surrender Him, so that our whole being is totally yielded to the will of God. Now, what sinks a ship? You ever think about that? What sinks a ship? It's not that the ship is on the water, but it's when the water gets in the ship that sinks the ship. Now, it can come up against a severe storm. The waves can rise and go over the bow and so forth. And it can remain floating. The only way that a ship can sink if something from the outside or in the water protrudes or punctures the shell and the water enters. You see, that is the same with our lives. There's nothing in our life going to sink us unless it protrudes and enters into our lives and we allow that to happen. You see, as Peter, he was walking on the water, right? I like to use Peter as an example, and I like to use when Jesus said, "Come to me, Peter." He was all hunky-dory, wasn't he? He was in good shape. He was going to the Lord. But something punctured and got his attention, didn't it? And he began to sink. You see, but God extended His merciful hand to Peter, and he pulled him up, and He saved him. But Peter, before he did that, he said, "Oh, Lord God, save me, Lord." And he did. And see, that's the mercies of God today, because we make a choice whether or not we're going to sink or swim. Well, there is a, in the love line, sink or swim, isn't it? We want to swim. We don't want to sink. We want to stay above. And see, that's God's choice for our lives, that we stay above the world in our thinking, in the way that we do things. See, that's the way with the spiritual life of a Christian. We are in the world, but not of the world. All around us, and often very close to us, there are immoral and unspiritual elements which, if allowed to be penetrated in our defense, will surely sink us. And those elements must be kept out at all costs. Now, in the verse here, in verse 2, it said, our lives should be acceptable to God. So what does that mean? What does being acceptable to God mean? So as believers, we ought to be different from the world. See, our goal should be to act as Jesus did, forgiving, for loving, and helping others, yet knowing when to speak the truth in love and to share our faith. See, when we sin, we should be quick. When we sin, we should be quick to repent and ask forgiveness, or confess and repent. How often do we do that? If we know we sin, do we say, well, I'll think about that. If I think it's severe enough, I will repent or I confess it. Now, the Holy Spirit, if it is brought to your mind by the power of the Holy Spirit at that moment, we want to be acceptable to God, so we confess it, we repent of it at that moment. And for the Christian that's living and walking close to God, there's not going to be a delay whether or not it's right or wrong. The Holy Spirit is going to say, you are a Christian, you're a child of God. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. So right now is a good time to confess. Right now is a good time to repent of that. Because if you look at what Paul is saying here in these verses, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself. See, that means to present yourself means to be in God's presence every moment. So being in the presence of God every moment, we should never, ever put anything off that is brought immediately to our attention by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's in our favor as Christians. When the Holy Spirit reveals and continually is feeding us with the mercies of God in our mind and in our heart, because our mind and heart is where everything is filtered through. And when it goes to the heart, that's how we process things. That's how we understand, you know, am I doing the right thing or I'm off course? And as a Christian wanting to live close to God, we're going to know immediately whether or not we're being acceptable to the God, mercies of God. Now, I want us to look at something a little bit deeper here. A godly lifestyle will attract some people to you, and it will drive others away. And I've talked to so many people in my years of being a Christian or as being a pastor of, you know, I used to have these friends. But now that I'm a child of God, they don't seem to want to have anything to do with me. I said, that's in your favor. You know, if the world is against you, you know who is for you. But in the same way, you can also be a witness, not to waver your faith. Even though the world is against you, that's what Jesus said, the world's going to be against you. If you follow me, the world's going to hate you. And that's okay. But at the same time, you are able to witness. You are to be able to understand that God will help you persevere, and you will be lifted to the height of your spiritual growth if you're willing to take a stand and say, it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what the world is doing around me. I'm going to follow Christ. And the scripture says that's our reasonable service, or some translation, our reasonable worship. Because if we keep in mind that as we're in the presence of God each day, we are worshiping Him in our actions, in our thoughts, and in our motives. Because if we understand what the scripture means, and it was given to us in order that we might understand that God's love is much greater than anything of the world's forces or even Satan's forces who is trying to drag us down or sink our lives, which he cannot unless we allow him to enter in certain parts of our lives that we choose because we enjoy it or we like it or we let our defense down. Then that's how Satan gets his foot in the door. But if we make a choice to live the godly life, then we're going to drive some people away. But sometimes the same people who resist the gospel will seek out a believer to help when things get difficult. See, those that live in a godly manner will face conflict in the world. To resist conforming to the world image, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But how will you do that? How do we transform the renewing of our mind? It says, fill your mind with Scripture. And that's why 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, all Scripture is inspired. It's a revelation for God that was given to us so that we can fill our minds with Scripture. See, it is through the Bible that we learn God's principles, His perspective, His ways, His way of thinking. You see, we need to focus on the right things, the righteous and the holy. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, where Paul again is saying, he says, put on the new self. But in verse 3 he says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, if we die to sin, so we are hidden in the life of Christ. Now look with me in Philippians 4:8, which says, and Paul is saying, think about excellence in your life, in your spiritual life. This is what he's saying here in chapter 4. Then in verse 8, he says, finally. Everybody likes to hear that word finally, don't you? When a pastor says conclusion or finally. But Paul is saying, finally, we're getting there. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, what does it say? Dwell on these things. And those things are the good things of life to dwell upon, aren't they? Because Paul is saying, you know, when you think back on your life and this is what's in your life now, you dwell on it because that's what's going to keep your spirits high. That's what's going to keep you growing spiritually. That's what's going to be lifting you up when the world is trying to drag you down. And that's why he says, this is the mercies of God. You are favorable to him because he chose you from the very beginning of the foundations of the earth to be acceptable in the sight of God through Christ Jesus your Lord. You see, that should excite Episcopalian, shouldn't it? It should. It should excite Baptists, Methodists, Church of Christ, whatever denomination, when we talk about the things of the Lord and the lifting up and the building up the body of Christ, if you're a child of God, then that's something to shout about. That's something to be happy about. That's something that we should be able to pass on to other people so they will know that we belong to him. So So focus on the right things, the righteousness, the holiness. This should be include choosing friends and entertainment wisely. Also, apply biblical truth to your heart. You know, as you go about your day, ask God to show you how to put into practice the principles of His Word. And see, James talks about that. How to apply or practice the things that we hear and we receive through the Word of God. And when we do that, it says, look intently. Look intently into the Word of God. Not to be someone who looks at yourself in the mirror and as you walk away, you forget what you look like. And many of us wish we could forget what we look like, right? As we get older and thinner on top and so forth. But you know what? None of that should bother us at all, should it? It doesn't bother me because Brenda loves me anyway. In spite of myself, right? So as we walk away from the Word of God after we read it and we look intently, then we thought, okay, I hear it. I've received it. Now what do I do with the Word of God? If I want to walk upright, do I want to understand God's will and purpose for my life? So what do I do? So as the Bible says, look intently. Don't just glance upon it. Don't just glare. Don't just think about it. But it means to dive in, to think upon the precious Word of God. So as we look intently and we receive it and we act upon it, then the Bible says that we are to do it. Do it. Apply it to our lives. And as we apply it to our lives, then the Bible says there in James chapter 1, verse 25, you will be what? Blessed. You will be blessed. How many of us want to be blessed by God? Amen. Well, you know, we're already blessed. We want to be blessed as we are being blessed because He is a merciful God. We don't deserve anything in this life, but because of His mercies and His grace, you know, He is willing to help us any way when we ask Him and when we walk in His precepts and principles of life. Well, we need to practice the presence of God, as I mentioned a while ago. See, God is always with you. He is always with you. And as Denise, as you were sharing that a while ago, even when we're unconscious of the things or the happenings around us, God is in our presence. And no matter what the outcome is, we're going to be okay. As a child of God, we are safe in His hands. There's a portion in that Love Liner song that I got to sing. Jesus, you know. Jesus, He took me by the hand. He led me from this land, you know. Jesus. I just want to say Jesus, you know. It's a wonderful thing to understand the mercies of God. You see, God is always with you. Ask Him to make you more sensitive to His presence. Ask Him to help you withstand temptation and become more Christ-like. You see, Paul warns believers also, says, do not be conformed to this world. So what does that mean? Consciously resisting the suggestions and pressures of the world around us. There's a certain training procedure for the Air Force pilots. And one flight condition a pilot must understand is hypoxia or oxygen starvation. See, students are paired off in altitude simulation chamber. And with oxygen mask on, they are taken to a simulated condition of 30,000 feet. Now, if I calculate that right, that's a little over 5.5 miles, isn't it? It's like 5.68181818182, something like that. My calculation's right. So, then one student removes his mask for a few minutes and begins to answer simple questions on a short piece of, on a sheet of paper. Suddenly, their partners force the oxygen mask on the uncovered mouth and nose of the people who are writing. After a few drafts of normal air, each writer is astounded at what he sees on his paper. The first few lines are legible, but the last few lines are unreadable. Did you understand what I was saying? At 30,000 feet, the mask is removed, and this person begins to write some simple answers to some questions. In just a few minutes, his friend puts a mask back on him. And then he comes to his senses and realizes that what he had written first was legible. But then the last few lines is unreadable. Like, this person did not realize that they were just about to go unconscious, or what you call blackout. What does that say about the Christian? You see, in the same way, people can be spiritually drained. They might not know anything is wrong, but unless someone explains how to obtain the breath of life, those disconnected from God will never gain spiritual consciousness. And Paul says, don't let that happen. See, when I think about this passage of Scripture and what Paul is saying to us, he is saying the key to living a godly life is full surrender. See, that means we must let God have complete control over our lives. The Lord is looking for faithful men, women, boys, and girls that will stand up for the truth in a world that is increasingly opposed to the gospel. And I know many of you, like myself, are praying for what's going on in this world today. Our missionaries and those that go overseas for whatever they go over there for, with a Bible in hand, intentionally, unintentionally sharing the gospel, or being persecuted because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, rather than base your standards on popular opinions, allow Scripture to set your value. Answer the Lord. Call to a godly life, and you'll never be the same if you're willing to answer to God for a godly life, full surrender. In Martin Luther's day, he was listening to this George Hirschman. He brought a message about he's alive, and a lady left the service. And on her way home from church, a lady stopped her. And she said, "Is the sermon over yet?" And the lady says, "It has been spoken, but it's got to be lived." I like that. It has been spoken. You know, a message is not a sermon until it's preached. I don't know if you ever thought about it that way. In wordplay there, I guess. But it can be spoken. But as James chapter 1, verse 25 says, you know, it's got to be lived out. And that lady was right. It has got to be lived out. And we hear messages day in and day out, whether on the radio or on Sunday morning or through the week or somewhere driving down the road. We hear them. We say, they're great. I enjoyed it. I was blessed. And you're on your own, you merry way. And they're forgotten. And that's why Paul says, don't forget. Do something. Allow the Word of God to live, or allow God or the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ to live out their lives through you. And James chapter 1, 25 says, then you will be blessed. So if you want to be blessed even more than you can even comprehend, if you want to be joyful and happy in your life, then practice what you hear and what you receive, something that God implants in your heart, in your life, and when you do, you have no regrets. You'll never be the same because you have a yielded spirit and willing to walk in the newness of life. That's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. That's why I entitled it The Call of Christianity. It is a calling. And for those who accept it, you will be fully blessed. Not only here on this earth, but one of these days in heaven. And it's a lot closer and sooner than we can even think about or comprehend. It is. It's coming soon. Be ready and be prepared. Because we never know. In our day and time, and the way the world is heating up now, it can be any day that the skies are open up, the trumpet will sound, and the Bible says that those who are dead will be raised up in the glories of the Heavenly Father. And those who are alive and remain, which will be you and me, will be called up likewise to be with the Lord. See, we should have no fears. That's why Romans chapter 8 says, there's no fear for those who are in God. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's why Paul says, I urge you in the mercies of God to be holy and a living people that is a reasonable service to the Lord. Our Father God, we thank you this morning that we can depend upon your word, that we can take it into our hearts and our lives, and as we live it out and we apply it, we can see the difference in our own lives, and people around us will be able to see the difference. But there's so many that are struggling in this life and may be struggling here this morning in our service, not understanding why conditions and circumstances are the way they are. But it all began back in the days of Adam and Eve, when sin entered the world. But Lord, you have given us a way out. You've given us security, eternal security, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that he was willing to go to the cross, that he was willing to die for our sins. And everyone here who has been sealed by your Holy Spirit can rejoice. But may we not take it for granted. May we not become complacent in our lives. May we not think, well, what else can I do to get more pumped up or have more freedom? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to get more of our life each day. Then we won't have to think about how can I get more icing for my cake spiritually, because we have Christ Jesus already and the Holy Spirit living in our life. Lord, may we just be thankful for your presence and live it out daily and think about, Lord, I know that I'm a Christian. Just help me each day to be the person you want me to be. Lord, I thank you this morning for your invitation. May each and every one of us here that have been touched by your Holy Spirit this morning, your very presence, be willing to respond to your calling. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our invitation hymn this morning is 330. Only trust him. Let us stand as we sing. I'll be here to the front to pray with you, talk with you, whatever God is leading you to do. If you just want to come this morning and kneel at the altar and just pray, that's good. That's what this altar is for. Just to come and pray. Ask God to just show you what his will, what his purpose is this morning, and you will be blessed. Let's see. Today, as you often hear me say, we have Sunday school following. I know that sounds like a broken record, but we would love for you to stay and enjoy the fellowship and the Bible study. Sometimes that's all we get through the week, unless we have our own devotional time along with the Lord. But it's a good time to spend together. You don't see everybody, except maybe here at church, or just walking down the sidewalk or something. You know, take time to enjoy this time together. It's precious. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Bob Dixon, would you close it, please?